Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
It is so sweet to trust in you. We have never trusted you where you have failed us. Father, we are thankful that your mercies are new every morning, that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider, that you provide honey in the rock. You produce in a difficult place to produce. You provide water from the stone. You provide for our every need. You provide manna on the ground, and we know that the word of God is manna. So today, may we pick up the word of God. May we pick that up. Would you speak to us today, and may we leave here more like you. You are our provider. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated if you will. Welcome to our second worship service today. We are honored to have you in the room. If you're participating online, welcome. We're thankful that you are worshiping. Sing with us. Enjoy. Take your Bible, open it up or your phone out and open to your Bible app and read along with us. We're going to be in Genesis 37 in just a little while. We'd like to know that you're there online. So if you would take your phone out and text the word welcome to 256-322-6100. It's on the screen right now, so text that if you will. And take a moment to start a little conversation with me for later today. For those in the room, if you're a guest here today, it's an honor to have you with us. We're thankful that you are here. We would ask you to take a moment to tear off the worship registration, to fill it out, and then place it in the offering box, which is outside the doors as you leave. Or you can hand it to me. I'll be glad to meet you at the welcome desk right out front. We have a gift for you to give you today, but we also have a gift to send you in the mail. We're not coming to your house, but we'd like to send you a gift, so we would encourage you to do so, to fill one of those out. We want to take just a moment and pray for our church of the week and our missionary of the week. Every week, we pray for a different church in our area and then a different one of our mission partners. Our church of the week is Solitude Baptist Church. Solitude Church is a wonderful church that's made a difference for the kingdom of God for many, many years, and we're thankful for them. Pray for their pastor, Joey Kennedy. Today is a special emphasis day for them, and so they have a guest speaker today. It's Lynn Darnell, and Lynn is one of the church planters that we support here as a church. So pray for their church and for God to move in power there today. Second, our missionary of the week is Chelsea Matthews. Chelsea serves in Aflalo, Ghana, West Africa, and she works with children there. We're thankful for her ministry and all she does and how she has made a difference in the lives of so many for the kingdom of God. So we're praying for her today. Let's pray as we continue in worship. Father God, as we come into this room, Lord, it is easy to come with things on our heart. It's easy to come with stuff in our mind, troubles, circumstance, health issues, all kinds of things. But my prayer is not that we would leave those things behind, but that for just right now, Lord, we'd place those at your feet. Lord, that we'll worship you even through the pain and through the difficulty. We'll worship you and through the circumstance where we have questions. We'll worship you now. We'll bring those to you. We'll ask you to move. As that song we just sang says, that there's purpose in your plan. Father, that we can find the power in your blood, healing in your hand. We're asking you to move in our life circumstance and situation. And Father, I take a moment to pray for Solitude Church. We pray that you would bring revival. We thank you for their ministry. We thank you for their great testimony in our community. And we're thankful for that sister church. I pray for Lynn as he brings the message today that you'd speak through him. Father, we also pray for Chelsea. Serving in Ghana. Lord, as she is there as a young lady living a life with two Ghanaian roommates, those ladies that she has as roommates, she's immersed herself in the culture of that village. Lord, my prayer is that you would use her in power to be a light and example to those around her, that people will come to know you through her ministry, that children will be blessed and will come to know you through that ministry. And God, here in this room, I'm asking that you would do a work in us today. God, that you would make us more like you before we leave here today, that you'll chip away things of the world and that you'll strengthen things of you in us. God, that's my prayer, that you would do that. And my prayer is that you would help us to ask your Holy Spirit to move among us in power in this time. And that's our prayer, Father, in Jesus' name. Sometimes we come to church and we sing beautiful new songs like Honey in the Rock. We sing old hymns like what we're about to sing. We sing any mixture of anthems as you'll hear today. And we can come and it be part of a routine and we can miss the Holy Spirit at work. And I'll be honest, and I don't mean this to be judgmental. I mean it because I've been there myself at times, that there'll be churches across our nation today that will gather because it's what you do on Sunday. And they may start, sing, have a message, an invitation, go home, take an offering, and the Lord never have been there and moved at all. And the reality is, if God does not move among us, if the Holy Spirit doesn't lead our time, the reality is we should all be somewhere else today. And so would you join me in inviting the Holy Spirit to work in me and to work in you? Let this be your prayer this morning. Would you sing this little chorus with me? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Let this be your prayer. Spirit of the melt me,
break me,
melt me,
melt me,
mold me, fill me,
mold me, fill me, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh.
In my Sunday school small group this morning, we were asking people to share their story of how they came to Christ. And one of the men in our group that shared how he came to know the Lord just 4 years ago got choked up in sharing his story. And the blessing of coming to know Christ later in life is often that we know the powerful work he has done, and we don't forget that, and we can celebrate it. And so it is an emotional moment of what he's done for us. Can I ask you, when's the last time that you were broken for the Lord and what he's done in you? Would you take just a moment and close your eyes? We're going to sing that again, but before we do, would you be daring enough to not just sing it, but to pray it and ask God to break you? Ask him to melt you. Ask him to mold you and to fill you. Just in the quietness of the moment, would you do that? God, break us of our pride. Lord, let a fragrant offering come out of the broken vessels we are. Lord, melt us of any walls that we've put up to keep us from boldly worshiping you. God, fill us with your Holy Spirit, because we live in a day and age where people need Spirit-filled men and women. And God, we ask you to move in us. That's our prayer this morning. Would you stand together? Don's going to lead us. Let's sing this again. Spirit of the living God, but lift your voice. Let this be your prayer.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Darkness slain, then bursting forth. Father God, in Christ alone we place our trust. Father God, I'm so thankful for that truth. I'm so thankful for that promise, Lord. God, as we've sung these songs of praises, I echo what Pastor Chris said, Father. Fill us, Father. Continue to pour out on us, Lord. Break our hearts for what breaks yours, Lord. As we continue worshiping, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated as we continue worshiping together. How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone, mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord.
And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of
of the faith, with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And on that day, join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. One voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign.
Church, stand with us and sing this together. Let's sing this together.
In holy, 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 Lord God, Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea.
Holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy.
There's none.
There is none beside
three,
and God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
So let it be today, we'll shout the hymn. Let it be today, we'll sing to him again. Father God, my prayer is that you would have your way among us, that today we could say that with all integrity and sincerity, that we're asking you to come and move among us. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Would you come and move among us? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated if you will. I can remember as a child that I always got very nervous when someone would say, I hope the Lord comes back today, or let it be today, or let it be soon. Or when we would sing about the fact that he was returning soon, that always made me nervous. But the older I get and the closer I get to the Lord and this side of heaven, I'm reminded what a joy it will be the day that the Lord returns. And the scripture is clear that the only reason he doesn't return is he is not slow in keeping his promises, it says, but he is patient. He's patiently waiting for another to come to know him. So today, may it be someone in Albertville who comes to know him, in Boaz, in Crossville, in Collinsville, in Gunnersville, in Douglas. May someone else come to know him. May it happen in the United States. May it happen in Kyrgyzstan, in Pakistan. May it happen in Uganda, in Lebanon. May it happen in Ghana, West Africa, and all over the world. Today, may someone else come to know him and know what that means. And just maybe, we will shout the hymn of heaven in heaven someday with him very, very soon. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 37. Over the past few years, coloring books for adults have become very popular. There is something that's very satisfying and relaxing about coloring. I believe it's because it takes us back to our childhood. And if you grew up attending Sunday school as a child, then you colored many of the Bible stories that we're unpacking in this current series called Bedtime Bible Stories Revisited. And today's story begs to be colored. It's the story of Joseph and the coat of many colors. So here's what we've done. Each week we've been singing a children's song. We don't have a children's song this week to sing. We will next week. But today we're asking you to do something different. If you'll notice in your worship guide, you had a color sheet. So you have homework. So all the children in the room, here's what we want you to do. Take this home and color it and then bring it back next week. And I have a special prize for you if you'll bring back your colored sheet to me. And so I encourage you to do that. Adults in the room, we're not leaving you out either. And so here's what we're going to ask you to do. There have been a lot of people that have been eyeing our brand new First Baptist mugs and have said, how do we get one? Well, they're just for guests. And so if you are new, we have one available for you today. If you've been a member here a long time and you want one, you're going to have to leave this church and then come back again as a guest. You can't have one. So here's what we'll do for you. We're going to make 40 of these available to the first 40 adults who will take and color. Now listen, you got to color inside the lines, okay? You need to color this right. Don't make it all pencil brown. I mean, color this. And then when you get home today, snap a picture of it, put it on Facebook or Instagram. Tag me in that. Don't tag me on Instagram. I'm not there. Tag me on Facebook. Find me or somewhere or bring it back. And we're going to give you one of these mugs. So if you want one, that's your way. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're going to get a head start and give it to me after the service today. I want you paying attention. Do not color in here. So wait and take it home. And they will not be accepted today after church. So I encourage you to do that and to be a part. So we think about what we color. And this story, Joseph and the coat of many colors, we heard it as a child, most likely, if you grew up in church. But it's a long story. It takes several chapters of the Bible. So we're not going to be able to cover it all in a week. We're going to try to cover two main points, one today and one next week in the life of Joseph. And then we're moving on. But I want to say to you, there are dozens of valuable lessons about Joseph and his family heritage and his life. So we're going to sum up his story now and then read one part of it. But I would encourage you to read in the mid-30s of Genesis all the way into the early 40s of the chapter there, and you'll get more of the story on your own later. So before we start in chapter 37, let me summarize the story. I tried to write it down in a way that if you don't know the story, it will help it make sense to you. And if you haven't heard it in a while, here's what I would say to you. Joseph had an imperfect family. His family was not perfect, neither is yours, but Joseph had an important family. His great grandfather was Abraham. And everybody knows, if you grew up in church, that Abraham had many sons, and what? Many sons had Father Abraham, right? We're going to sing that next week. Be ready, but we're going to talk about that. So his great-grandfather was Abraham, and Abraham had a son named Isaac, and Isaac had a son named Jacob, and Jacob was blessed by God to be given a new name, which is Israel. So the whole nation of Israel comes from this family line. So Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob, and then Jacob, whose name became Israel, had 12 sons, one of which was Joseph. And now you may say, then Jacob must have been a wonderful person. Well, the reality is Joseph's family was truly messed up. I want you to think about it for a moment. Joseph had one mother. He had three stepmothers. He had one brother. He had 10 stepbrothers, and he had one sister. And all of these people lived under the same roof together. It was not the Brady Bunch. It was a difficult place for them to be. Joseph's father, Jacob, was, listen, I don't mean to be too harsh, but I want to be realistic with you. He was a polygamist. He was a passive parent. He openly showed favoritism among his children. And he made a number of selfish decisions in his life. It's all in black and white in the scripture. You can see it for yourself. I love how Chuck Swindoll words it about him. He says, Jacob is a classic illustration of a man who's too busy for his family. He's too preoccupied and unconcerned, which meant he was too passive to deal with what was occurring in the lives of any of his children. Now, if you add to that the fact that Jacob's wives were all jealous of each other and they were insecure. So Jacob's home had four unhappy wives in it, and those children had four unhappy mothers who could not get along together. Can you imagine how difficult this must have been? So that's where we pick the story up today. Genesis 37, beginning in verse 3. It says, now Israel, that's Jacob, loved Joseph more than any other of his sons. What a horrible thing to be recorded in the Bible about you for everyone to see for all eternity. But it's there. It's truth. The Bible does not shy away from truth, even when it puts God's people in a bad light. That's important to know. So it says, now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, hear this dream of mine that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. His brothers said to him, are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Let me give you a little side note here. This is free advice. It's not part of the message, but this is important. If you and I can learn this, it will help us in life. Pride says, always speak when you think it. Pride says, if you think it, speak it. You might as well. But humility and wisdom knows that some things are best unspoken. There is a time to speak and there is a time to be quiet. And so here's how I would word that for you if you're wording things. If you struggle to hold your tongue, then the Bible has dedicated a number of verses to this idea of restraining your tongue. So here's what I would say. Restraint is a virtue. Restraint is a discipline. And restraint is a superpower for life. So you can learn to restrain what you're thinking from coming out of your mouth. And that is an act of humility. Pride says, I'm going to say it because I think it and what I think is right. And so everyone needs to hear it. And humility says, sometimes be quiet. So if we could just learn to practice restraint, and I'm talking to myself too, there are times I can do this very well, and there are times it just has to make its way out. And that never ends well when that is the case. So write that down. Restraint is a virtue, it's a discipline, and it's a superpower for life. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 9. Then Joseph dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. But when he told this to his fathers and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you? And his brothers were jealous of him again, but his father kept this saying in his mind. Now, another side note really quickly. If you're trying to figure out what this dream means, why would Joseph have a dream about the sun and the moon and the stars all bowing down to him? Well, the answer is found not in the first book of the Bible, but if you turn all the way to the last book of the Bible. If you turn to Revelation chapter 12, we won't read it right now, but if you've ever read some of the symbolism of Revelation and have struggled to understand what it means, in Revelation 12, you have a pregnant woman who is about to give birth to a son, and it says that she has a sun, she's clothed with the sun, and the moon is under her feet, and on her head is a crown with 11 stars. And it says she gives birth to a son, and an evil dragon is about to devour her son when the baby is snatched up to heaven and protected. Now, what in the world does that mean in Revelation 12? Well, the answer is found right here in Joseph's dream thousands of years before. Because it explains to us that this is Israel. This idea of the moon, the stars, and all of this together, the 12 stars, this is Israel. So it's the idea that Israel gives birth to a son, Jesus. Jesus the Messiah, Satan seeks to devour him and stop him from fulfilling what he is called to do. But he is protected, and ultimately he destroys the dragon, Satan himself. And so what we come to learn is that when you're reading symbolism in the Bible and you're struggling to figure it out and you don't know what to do or where to turn, the best place you can turn to explain the Bible is the Bible. And so what I would remind you of is this: God's word is the best resource to explain God's word. And that's a great tool for you to know in life, that you can use different passages in scripture to help you understand the context of other places in God's word. So that's free and extra, but let's keep going for the story. So Joseph's brothers are mad about this second dream, and they've had enough. They decide to get rid of their brother. So they take him and they throw him into a pit. And they decide it's not just enough to throw him in a pit. They might as well make a little money off of him because they're not sending him back to their father. So they have some distant cousins who are coming along, and they decide to sell Joseph to their distant cousins as a slave. And so they do. And then they take blood from an animal. They pour it on this coat of many colors. They take it back to their father, Israel, Jacob. And they say to him, a wild animal must have killed your son. He's gone. We don't know what happened to him. And they go about their lives with very little regret. Now, over the next few years, here's what happens in Joseph's life. Joseph ends up being sold by his cousins to Potiphar. And Potiphar is the captain of the guard for Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is the supreme ruler of all of Egypt. So Potiphar buys Joseph. And scripture tells us that the Lord was with Joseph, and he ended up being put in charge of Potiphar's house. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was put in charge of Potiphar's house. So things rock along, and things are going well. And then Potiphar's wife decides that Joseph is a handsome young man. He has lots of authority. He seems to be sharp. So she tries to seduce him, and Joseph refuses. She has him thrown into prison under false pretenses. And then we learn, the Bible says, the Lord is with Joseph in prison. And he is eventually put in charge of all the prisoners. And then Pharaoh, the man in charge of all of Egypt, gets mad at his butler and his baker. He has them thrown into prison as well. They are in there with Joseph. And over time, they each have a dream. He interprets it. The dreams come true. One of them escapes with his life. One of them does not. Several years later, he remembers that Joseph can interpret dreams. And then again, we see that Pharaoh needs a dream interpreted. And so the Lord is with Joseph again, and he is brought out and interprets a dream for Pharaoh. And the next thing you know, he is now in charge of all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. It's an amazing story. How did this happen? Because the Lord was with him. And he ends up storing supplies because he knows a famine is coming. So for several years, he stores supplies. And then a seven-year famine comes. And the entire known world is going to die of starvation because of this famine. But Joseph's brothers have enough sense to know to go and beg Pharaoh. They have no idea that their brother is alive. They have no idea where he would be. So they go to Pharaoh and they beg for help. Joseph ends up providing for his brothers and then reveals who he is to them, and they are reunited. But all of Israel is saved because Joseph ended up in Pharaoh's house and saved enough food that would take care of the Israelites that remained. And because of that, now listen, this is the end of the story. Because of that, that's why you're here today. You say, how does that get to me? Listen, out of Israel, because they were saved in this moment, out of Israel, many, many years later, would come Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus came to save Israel, but he didn't just come to save Israel. He came to save Gentiles. If you're a Gentile, raise your hand. That's you. Okay, so he came to save you and me. And so you and I are here today saved because of what happened with Jesus, which he was allowed to be born and take place because someone had enough sense and God put Joseph in the right spot to save Israel in that moment. So here we are. This story matters for you and for me. Now, I just summed up multiple chapters in about 4 minutes. And here's the truth. There are so many lessons here we don't have time to cover. We could do that another time, and maybe we will. But we're just going to give you one for today. And here it is. If you're writing things down, this is all we want you to focus on for the next few moments. You will either strengthen, weaken, or change your family legacy. I did not say you have the potential to do it. I did not say you might do it. I am telling you, if you are listening to me on the radio, if you are paying attention and watching online, if you are in this room right now hearing my voice and looking at me, you will either strengthen your family legacy, you will lessen your family, weaken your family legacy, or you will change your family legacy. Psalm 78 shows that we can do that. Multiple places in the scripture show the idea that things change when we give ourselves to the Lord and grow in Him. The choice is up to you, and the choice is up to me. Now, let me be honest. Jacob's family was more dysfunctional than yours. You say, well, you don't know my family, Chris. Nobody threw you in a pit and sold you into slavery. So his family was, now, some of you are thinking maybe, you know, close, but his family was more dysfunctional than yours. However, maybe, just maybe, you grew up in a family that has some level of dysfunction. Can I be honest? Even the best of families at some point have some level of dysfunction. And here's what we know. When children grow up in a home, they often repeat the good and the bad of their parents. A lot of what we know about marriage, a lot of what we know about parenting, for good or bad, we learned in our homes as children. But with God's help, you and me, we can break any dysfunctional cycle. We can break sin cycles. Joseph is the proof it can be done, and many other people in the scripture are the proof as well. Joseph was raised in the home of someone who was angry, people who were jealous, people who were deceitful, yet he became a great man of God, empowered by God, and used of God. How? The Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. And here's the secret. If you know Jesus, don't miss this, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you also. Joseph did not let his problems erase his purpose. Sometimes when I have problems, I will let them get me off track from the purposes of God in my life. I can tend to whine and complain and be a little worried or fret from time to time. I don't know about you, but in my life, when things go wrong, that can happen, and I can just get distracted from the purposes of God. But Joseph, instead, he let his problems be platforms for God's good purpose. How did he do that? Here's the answer, and here's how you can do it. He made the next right choice, and he waited on God every time. He made the next right choice in front of him, and he waited on God every time. How did he do that? He did not let his circumstances steal his faith. He found the favor of God in every place he went, in a pit, in Potiphar's house, in prison, and in the palace. Friends, I would say to you today that you can compare your life to one of these four places. If you think about your life right now, it probably would stand to reason to be in one of these four. Maybe for some of you, you feel like your life is in a pit. That's pretty desperate and bad, and maybe you feel like you are just right there. Can I say to you, look at what God did when he was with Joseph, and he can do the same for you. What did Joseph do? Every chance he got, he made the next right step in front of him, the next wise step in front of him, and God used it. Maybe for you, though, you're not in a pit. Maybe it's more like Potiphar's house. Things aren't perfect. Things aren't great, but you're feeling pretty good about things. Can I say to you, if that's the case, you need to make a decision to make the next right step in front of you. Maybe for you, though, it's more like prison. Friends, I had a conversation this last week with someone, a good friend. And this person was sharing part of his story with me. I already knew it. We were just talking. And he said, you know something? My time in prison, he literally went to prison for a while. He said, my time in prison was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because God met me in prison and did a transforming work in my life. And so, friends, obviously you're not in prison right now. I don't know if they've got the internet. Maybe somebody's listening in there, but probably not. But you're not physically in prison. But maybe some of you in this room, you are in prison. In some way, in your mind, your heart, in your life, in your circumstance. And can I say to you that the gracious, loving, kind God will meet you right where you are. All you are required to do is take the next right step in front of you. Just the next right step. And for some of us, we're in the palace. Things have been great and things have been wonderful. So we don't need to change our family tree. Maybe we need to strengthen the family legacy. So here's what I know. No matter where you are, if things are not great, we can spend our lives blaming it on someone else. We can blame it on somebody from the past. We can blame it on some circumstance from the past. We can blame it on our job situation now, our health situation now, our family situation now. But at some point, you and I must recognize that the next step you make is really your next step. The next decision you make is really your decision. Don't blame it on your problem. Don't blame it on your past. Don't blame it on something else. Whatever you decide to do next will be your decision. So what should you decide? Here's what we decide. We decide to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, empower us, and to guide us, and to help us make a legacy for him. That's the next right step, to ask the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. Listen, it's important. Don't get stuck and what you think is the cause of a problem. Just make the next right and wise choice ahead of you. Let me give you an example. I love this story. It's about a construction crew that was taking a break at lunch, and they all were sitting on the construction site around. They opened their lunch boxes and were about to eat, and one guy said, I cannot believe this. Here I am again, a bologna sandwich again. All I have is a bologna sandwich every day. I hate bologna sandwiches. I'm going to die if I have to eat another bologna sandwich. And the guy next to him says, well, why don't you ask your wife to pack something else for you for lunch? And he says, oh, I'm not married. I pack my own lunch. I just read your mail for some of you. Because some of you, you're responsible for the baloney that remains in your life. I'm just being honest with you for a moment. I mean, I need to claim it for myself. There are times in my own life that I can say it's because of this, it's because of that, when the reality is it's my own sandwich. I made it myself. And friends, I want to encourage you that today's a good day to say, I will take the next right step in front of me. If I have been, maybe it wasn't you that caused it, but the reality is you find yourself in a situation where you want to move forward for the Lord. Well, it will totally be your decision at this point to allow the Holy Spirit to use you so you make the next right and wise step in front of you. How do you know what the next right and wise step is? It starts with the Word of God. Listen, guys, you have to turn to the Word of God. Our staff has been reading a book together, and we discussed it at staff meeting. And one of the things it talked about this past week was in the early 90s, you guys remember the entire, or mid-90s, the movement called WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? It was all based on the little book by Sheldon called In His Steps that was written decades ago, but it revived itself in the 90s, and all of a sudden, everybody had a WWJD bracelet. Everybody had a What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker. Everybody had a What Would Jesus Do t-shirt. People had What Would Jesus Do pepper spray. People had, I mean, whatever, anything you could market, What Would Jesus Do would go on it, okay? Here's the reality of that, though. In the book, he says this. He said, the danger of everyone walking around saying, what would Jesus do, is that there's a whole bunch of people that have no clue what Jesus would do. Because if we're not careful, we let our own mind and emotions dictate what we think Jesus would do instead of trusting what the Scripture says Jesus would do. So friends, it's really a call back to the Word of God. It's a call back to what God has to say for us. Cale brought something up in our staff meeting. I don't know if it was original to him. If it was, we should give him a raise. It was brilliant. But if it wasn't, we don't know who. We don't really know. Was it you? Did you? You have no idea? Okay, we'll say it was Cale. And so the idea is this. He said that one of the most dangerous, I'm going to say it wrong, one of the most dangerous things in the life of a believer is to have peace about something. It's the word peace, because this whole idea, people say, well, I've got a peace about this, so I'm going to do it. And we'll disobey God's word left and right because we'll just feel okay about it. When the truth is, if God's word speaks about it, friends, God's word is truth. And so what we have to do is go back to not just how we feel, because I can make myself feel good about just about anything from time to time. So it's not just about have I let myself, set myself up to have enough peace about this to move forward with it. It is what is God's word and the principles of God's word say about it. So if you find yourself in a pit, you find yourself in Potiphar's house, you find yourself in prison, you find yourself in the palace, whatever the case may be, would you turn to God's word and would you take the next right and wise step in front of you? That's what he wants you and me to do. Now, the reality is, I don't always do that. Sometimes I take the right next step, sometimes I don't. But my prayer is that I can learn and trust God's word. My prayer is that you and I can pray and trust God's leading. My prayer is that you and I can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and trust God's power, and that we will learn to make that next right and wise choice in front of you. And then lastly, what we see from Joseph is this. When we do, when you make just the next wise step in front of you, people around you will benefit from it. Did you realize? Look at Joseph. Every time, even though he went through some very difficult things over that span of a number of years, but every person that was around him eventually benefited by being around him. And when you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and you're walking in the life that God has called you to and you're making the next wise choice in front of you on a consistent basis, the people around you are going to benefit from it. They just are. Why? Because the grace of God's at work in that. And so I encourage you in those ways. Oh, if I could be the kind of person that it would be a benefit to people who are around me on a regular basis. That's what I want to be, don't you? You want to bless people in that way. So let's sum up all that we've talked about today with those two phrases we started with. Number one, restraint is a virtue, a discipline, and a superpower. For some of us, the lesson today is to learn to restrain our tongues and in humility to begin to be careful about what we speak and what we say. Joseph, it took a while for him to learn that lesson. And the second is this, make the next right and wise choice as you wait on God. Your family legacy is at stake. If your family legacy is strong, you can strengthen it. If your family legacy is strong, you can weaken it. If your family legacy is horrible, you can change that today. You can be the one to help move it forward. And my prayer is that you and I would become those kind of difference makers in our lives. Would you bow with me with our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? What about you? Do you come from some level of dysfunction in a room this size? There's no doubt several people in here probably do. Listen, I don't want you to wear that like a hot, wet blanket that hurts and is difficult to carry around with you for the rest of your life. Instead, I want to encourage you to find that pain and that problem as a platform for the purposes of God. And from this point forward, make a decision to make the next right and wise step in front of you, to seek God in His Word and to begin to live like He would live and not just like the legacy that came before you. You can change your family tree. But if you're here and maybe yours has been pretty good, you're like me, you've been blessed in a lot of ways, not perfect, but good. If that's the case, thank God for that, because not everyone has that same circumstance. And then secondly, figure out how you can strengthen it and how you can help your family legacy that's already headed in the right direction to be more laser focused on the kingdom of God and moving forward. And then if there's someone in your life that you're praying for, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend, and you're just waiting for God to get a hold of them and do something, realize that while you're waiting, every time you make the next wise choice, you can help be a blessing to that person, even if they're struggling. You can help for their benefit, for them to see what God is up to and how He would react and do. So my prayer is that I would do that in my life. My prayer is that you would do that in your life. So if God is speaking to you about that, I invite you in just a moment to come and get on your knees before the Lord and just make a renewed commitment to the Lord. A renewed commitment that says, I want to take the next wise and right step in front of me. I want to strengthen my family legacy. I want to change my family legacy. I want to stop weakening my family legacy, whatever the case may be. Any one of those. And then if there's someone specific that you're praying for, pray that God would not just change them, but that He would help you to know how to act and react and live and love and be gracious in front of them, that through that they will benefit and be turned and drawn to the Lord. Maybe for you though, you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus. I'd love to talk with you about that. Maybe you say, I have Jesus and I want to follow through with believers' baptism to show the world of that. We can talk about that. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our church and be an official part of it. We'd love for you to come and become an official member and join us here as we seek together to make the next right and wise choice for our church as well, as we seek to reach our community and the world for Jesus. Whatever God is saying to you, would you be obedient? Father God, in this moment, please have your way among us. As we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. My prayer is that could be our resolve, that we decide to follow you. We thank you for Joseph. He had a horrible, horrible set of circumstances throughout his life. But in the middle of all that, we see your grace at work when we didn't even know what grace was back then. We see your sovereignty at work. We see your holiness at work. We see your salvation at work through his life. Thank you for his obedience and his willingness to be used of you. Now, God, would you do that in our lives? God, use us for the benefit of others around us. May our lives and our living make a difference for those around us. Father, help me to want to strengthen my family legacy. Lord, help people in this room to want to change their family legacy. Help people in this room to want to be the one that says, I will take and make the next right and wise step in front of me. God, help us to do that. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to sing. I invite you to come and pray. I invite you to come and pray with me. Pray here. Someone will pray with you. You have a decision to make. As God moves, you come. Let's stand together.
I have decided.
Sing it. Come on.
To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow, no turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Father God, I thank you that we can learn from Joseph. God, my prayer is that your spirit would continue to work in our hearts and help us each to realize that we can be a difference maker for those around us, that we can be a difference maker in our family legacy. Thank you for his example. God, may we learn from it. And Lord, even next week, learn more about him and you and your grace and your mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.